Follow Elizabeth on Twitter right now. Keyword Food Nation Radio. And visit ElizabethDoherty.com for restaurant reviews, recipes, her blog, and a whole lot more. Once again, here's Elizabeth.
Hey, everybody, we're back. You're listening to Food Nation Radio Network. I'm Elizabeth Doherty. We have Kirk Azevedo on the phone, and he is a former Monsanto employee, and we're talking with him about some of his impressions while he worked there and some of his experiences before and after. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Thanks for having me on today.
Can you give us an idea, just so people have some background, what your experience was before you went to work for this company? Because it doesn't sound like you were working as a researcher there, but did you have any previous scientific research experience?
Actually, after graduating Cal Poly in biochemistry, I went to work for Abbott Laboratories. And with Abbott Laboratories, actually, I did basic research with BTs, or Bacillus thuringiensis, and also plant growth regulators, which they spray on plants to make them do different things hormonally. But the BTs are similar to, or the same organism that they use transgenically to put into like corn plants and cotton plants to protect them from certain insects. I did basic research in that. But also, even during college, I worked for the chemical industry with Helena Chemical Company. And I worked for, as I was saying, Abbott Laboratories, and then FMC Corporation, and then finally Monsanto. I worked for them as a local market manager, as well as a facilitator for genetically engineered crops for the western states, which really at that time, 1996, 1997, was mainly Arizona and California with the Roundup Ready cotton, as well as BT cotton.
And when did you start to become concerned about what they were doing?
Actually, there was a particular time that I became concerned was when I remember being out in a cotton field with one of the PhD researchers, and I was kind of arguing with him about the California cotton that we had that was genetically engineered for Roundup resistance or herbicide resistance, saying that we should be able to market it as California cotton and get the California premium. And I said, you know, we should be able to do that because there's really no difference, you know, between this cotton and the other cotton that's grown in California besides the gene that we wanted in there. And at that point, then he said, well, it's really not like that. There's actually other proteins that are being produced, not just the one we want, as a byproduct of the genetic engineering process. That's when I became concerned, because at the same time I had been studying protein diseases like prion diseases and mad cow disease was just starting out, and I knew that proteins can be toxic, and the whole new classification of diseases are just on the horizon, that weren't bacteria, that weren't viruses or fungus, but rather protein-based diseases. So I just asked him, well, then we're going to have to destroy the seeds from this crop because we don't want to feed it to cattle because it might be prion type. And at that point, he said, well, we're doing this everywhere else and we're going to do it here. And that's pretty much what was brought down the line from the hierarchy of Monsanto, too. So at that point, when I saw that there was really the fraud associated with the genetic engineering, where my impression, I think most people's impression with genetically engineered foods and crops and other things, is that it's just like putting one gene in there and that one gene's expressed. If that was the case, well, then that's not so bad. But in reality, the process of genetic engineering changes the cell in such a way that it's unknown what the effects are going to be.
And what's interesting about what you just said is that the professor that I just spoke with from the Institute for Science and Society said that during these field trials, he felt there were several problems with the field trials. But I asked what happened to these crops after the field trials. And he said, well, of course, I'm sure they're destroyed. From what you're saying, you were told directly that they were not going to be destroyed.
Yeah, well, in this case, this was, they fed the cotton seed to what usually goes to different types of animal feed to increase the protein content of the feed, mostly cattle and such.
What do you think is happening now?
It's almost as if almost every day things are changing in this, and more to corroborate, you know, my position of being that, you know, we got to be a little more careful with this technology, in particular with how sloppy the process is to insert genes and where it has potential to produce these other type of proteins, not just the one we want, but other proteins. So when I see these things, it just kind of corroborates my fears of some of the sloppy genetic engineering that's been going on.
What happened when you tried to be basically a whistleblower? What happened when you went to the authorities?
Well, I wasn't really like being a whistleblower. I was just trying to get someone to understand. And there's a lot of really smart people who have been working on this. And Monsanto actually working for the company was a great company to work for. They hire the best talent, and they really do a lot of education. But in this case, we had people that were working more with herbicides for years, and maybe also entomologists and so forth, and they were working on the genetic engineering products also. In reality, we didn't really know that, I think, the questions to ask as far as how is this different and how should we test these products. We've tested them as if it was like a herbicide toxicology. In reality, when we check for toxicology, I think, of these genetically engineered products, we have to have a much broader view. We have to look at, you know, human physiology. We have to be able to see, you know, what kind of pathological diseases can manifest from things like this with proteins. Compared to just looking at one chemical, we have to look at the effects of a whole organism as you change the DNA. It's really complicated as we get down to try to understand this. And it's not like these people are trying, I think, for Monsanto, trying to do something evil. But at the same time, I think they've been, you know, kind of turning their eye to things that might potentially be dangerous.
Well, some of the other concerns are increases in allergies. Did you hear any discussion of that while you were there?
You know, not necessarily with that. Later on, I became more aware of those things. You can have allergies and anti-nutrients and other new toxins and new diseases that can manifest from genetic engineering products. You know, most of the products now are being genetically engineered. Look at soybeans. Probably 90% of the soybeans are genetically engineered. Maybe 85% of corn and cotton is probably 85% too. There's so much on the market right now that it's even hard for us to, if we're going to try to study it, because there's really no control group that we can say people aren't eating it, since we don't have labeling laws that tell us who's eating this and who's not.
Well, Kirk, I really appreciate your time and talking with us. Do you think there's anything else we should know about this?
Well, there's so much to it. I mean, my thing is I'm looking more at the proteins and looking at protein conformation diseases. I think we have to really talk about getting people aware of, let's go ahead and give us ourselves a choice of what we can consume by enforcing labeling laws and try to get those on the books. President Obama, I think he needs to live up to his campaign promises to mandate labeling laws for genetically engineered foods. Also looking at the FDA policies on genetic engineering, it's pretty much the policy is that there's no information showing that genetically modified products are significantly different. That's a policy for the FDA.
Right.
But this policy is based on a lie, really, because the overwhelming is among the scientists at the FDA found that GMOs or genetically modified organisms were, in fact, different and unsafe. And they wanted to see more long-term studies done because of the, like we talked about before, the potential for producing allergens, toxins, new diseases, and nutritional problems. And if we look at why is this, why would that be that the FDA policy is that, well, maybe it's because of corporate involvement in the FDA, such as we see the FDA food czar, Michael Taylor. He was previously employed by Monsanto as a VP and a lawyer. You know, it's kind of like the fox guarding the hen house in this case.
Right.
So I think what we'll see here is the fraud of genetically engineered products are going to be known more and more. And in some ways, it's too bad in the sense that there's a lot of potential for using some technologies like stem cell technologies. And also recently, there's been other technologies used for stem cells, like getting skin cells from your body and transforming them into liver cells as a new discovery recently, using technologies like zinc finger techniques. It's really more precise type technology that may all get thrown out just because of the handling of the food part.
Well, I really appreciate your time, and we may be calling you back again.
Great. So. Well, thank you very much, Elizabeth. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Kirk. Kirk Azevedo, former employee of Monsanto. You've been listening to Food Nation Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Thank you.